Good morning. It's 9:03 a.m. Monday, January 23rd. This is the Board of Trustees meeting for the Austin Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund. Our first item is any public comments?
We have no public comments this morning.
Okay. We'll move on to item number one, approving the regular meeting minutes from December the 12th. Any questions or comments? No.
Move to approve the minutes. Okay.
John moves to approve. Have a second?
I'll second.
Linda seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Let me also state the mayor is not here at the present time, so we have a quorum of four. Next, we have service retirement benefits for three applicants and three beneficiaries. The first item we'll take up is the three applicants. I have a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
John approves.
I'll second.
Linda seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next, we have three beneficiaries to approve, but first, I would like to take a moment of silence for Battalion Chief Travis Mayer, who passed away recently, and then also I just learned today that previous Fire Chief Bill Roberts passed away last week. So I'd like to take a moment of silence for those two, please. Thank you very much. Okay, so we have also three beneficiaries to approve. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Linda moves. I have a second. Second from John. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. And we're going to skip number three for now. The mayor will be stopping in pretty soon. Next, we want to welcome our newest trustee, Aaron Wolverton. Aaron, we appreciate you being here. We're looking forward to a lot of good things over the next few years. So appreciate you taking the time to work on this great endeavor. Okay, next item up is the vice chair election.
I just wanted to say I think, Chief, you've been doing a great job so far, and that I would move to reelect you as our vice chair for a couple of reasons. One, you're doing a fantastic job, but also, you know, in the past there had been sort of a rotation where folks do this in their final year, and this would allow you to continue into your final year as vice chair and get back on that pattern. So I move to reelect you.
And I'll second that motion. I echo the sentiments of Trustee Bass. You've done a great job, and yes, going into your final year, I think it would be great to have you as vice chair.
Okay, so have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0, and thank you very much for the kind comments. Okay, next item. Item number six, distribution of annual drop statements to participants.
Good morning, trustees. Anumeha Kumar. We put this agenda item for y'all's consideration partly because we have been going back, now that we have more staff, we have been going back and reviewing our procedures as well as doing some spot checking, if you will, or internal auditing of some of the distributions or benefits we have processed in the past. And as we were going through that process, we noticed, of course, these annual drop statements are required, or we have always sent those out to our members or drop participants in January of every year. And we are We have everything ready for the statements to go out. However, as we were going through reviewing the past distributions over the course of the last 2 to 3 years, we noticed there were some accounting discrepancies as well as reporting discrepancies. So it's possible if you were to send those statements out that some of the drop balances that we report to the members that they have on their accounts may not be accurate. And, of course, this hasn't caused the fund any financial harm or hardship. However, it's prudent to make sure we move forward with fixing those errors or reporting issues as soon as possible. And we have already engaged in that process. So I wanted to solicit your thoughts or input on if we should hold off on publishing and sending those drop statements out. And we will work through making those fixes, hopefully through February, and then we'll be positioned to send those statements out that are going to be an accurate reflection of those drop balances by end of February, hopefully, worst case, early to mid-March. And this doesn't require a motion. If you all would just direct staff to do one or the other, we'll move forward with that.
So my concern is that the members, they're used to seeing them coming out in January or early February. And so I certainly like to continue that. But about how many mistakes have you found so far?
I'm going to say 25 to 30.
So I'd like to be able to communicate to them that we found errors and there's, you know, more analyzing going on to address the errors and just so those members know. But then also any way to let the entire organization know that, you know, we're spot checking and there could be more errors found.
Sure. And let me clarify, just to make sure everyone understands, the errors does not pertain to impacting any of our members' drop accounts, right? That's not what those errors are about. The errors are more on the staff side where we did not do the proper reconciliation of when we made the distributions. We did not reconcile the software that houses that information is the error we are talking about. There was no harm done to members' drop balances. We have an accurate accounting of that. And I just wanted to make sure everyone understands that and are on the same page. Certainly one option for y'all to consider is maybe we can try to reach out to those participants, get the statements out, and then try to reach out to those participants or send out a communique letting the drop participants know that even though we have published these statements, we are continuing to work on double-checking the information and make them aware. So that's certainly an option.
Yeah, I know if I was one of those 25, I would like to know as soon as possible that, you know, hey, we found something and we're checking into it. Any other thoughts?
So is the choice to delay releasing the statements until you've had an opportunity to contact these 25 and then do it later in February, or are we talking about potentially going ahead, putting the statements out, but with communication? There have been some errors found. There potentially might be some more with respect to the accounting along the lines of what you were just speaking to. What is there a preference that you all have in the staff of which two options you would like, you know?
So we will certainly need a little bit more time to reach out to these 25 or so participants. At this point, given we are already looking at end of January, my thought is I think by early February we should be able to make contact with these participants as well as get the statements out the door. So I think reaching out to them as quickly as possible is what we will prioritize for now. And then get the drop statements out by first week of February, and we'll make sure we try to communicate that through our website and any other means possible.
Okay. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. All right. Item number 7, discuss and consider service provider evaluations, including A, depository bank, and B, legal counsel.
Thank you, trustees. In line with our policy, we had adopted a schedule to evaluate our vendors. And then last year, of course, we engaged in evaluating our actuary. And then moving forward, in accordance with our schedule, the depository bank or the local bank that we use, as well as our legal counsel, are scheduled to be evaluated. Now, with regards to the depository bank, we have been working with, of course, we started with the Pioneer Bank. That's the local bank we were using in the past. And then they merged with Sunflower Bank. So Sunflower Bank is is the entity we are working with now. And we have been with them since 2018. And my recommendation is to move forward with some form of an RFI or a process, a public process, to solicit in line with making sure that we are receiving the best price, given the Sunflower Bank, they do charge us for wire transfers that we are making, right? And so to make sure we have the best services that we are looking for, a bank that we know is well insured, we can rely on, as well as to make sure we keep our costs down. So along those lines, I would recommend moving forward with an RFI, if you will, to reach out and make sure we have the best depository bank or the local bank that we are using.
Okay. You good with that?
I fully support that. And having some process in place, I think the depository bank is such a critical vendor that provides essential services for staff just to perform daily duties, along with getting our members their necessary funding. So I fully support moving forward with an RFI. And looking beyond, I mean, local banks are preferable, but just kind of providing the RFI or whatever you decide to go forward with to all banks, just to see from a pricing perspective, along with the scope of service perspective, who can provide us all services that we require at the best price.
Okay.
And I would concur with that.
Thank you,
so
trustees.
You don't need a motion for that, right?
No, we don't need a motion for that. The next vendor on the list is our legal counsel, Jackson Walker. Last year, towards the end of the year, I had mentioned to the board and proposed that we enter into a flat fee arrangement with Jackson Walker, which is essentially going to help us bring the cost down. Part of the reason why I had made that recommendation, of course, was as staff and I were transitioning into our new roles, I received a lot of support, as well as the institutional knowledge that we needed to lean on from Jackson Walker. And they were critical in my mind in helping us with the transition, making sure that our books and records are in good order, and they continue to assist us with those tasks. In addition to, of course, providing support, be it on the Quadro side, getting new trustees trained, as well as making sure if we are looking back and asking questions about, say, one of our vendors, where is our contract? If we are not able to find the contract in our records, then Jackson Walker most certainly would have had a copy. And then any policies and procedures that we have been reviewing, both at the staff level or at the board level, they have been instrumental in sharing the institutional knowledge, as well as helping me get up to speed on the history with regards to Austin Fire and making sure that I'm up to speed in a very, very short period of time. Considering all those factors, I had recommended back in November that we enter into a flat fee arrangement with Jackson Walker for 2023. Of course, we will revisit that and monitor that closely to keep an eye on legal costs. However, I decided to include them on this list of vendors to be evaluated, given I wanted to make sure we are following our procedure, and you all have an opportunity to consider, certainly if you all feel no, we should reevaluate them as well and issue an RFP, whatever may be the case, I'm happy to, but my recommendation is to stay with Jackson Walker.
Okay, any comments?
No, I support the recommendation. I think they've been doing great work for us in light of the new flat fee arrangement and all the things you mentioned. I think that's the way to go.
Thank you. And I fully support your recommendation as well. Just echoing on Trustee Bass's statements, I do think that they have done a great job over the years that I've been a trustee, and just to help assist with facilitating still this transitionary time for y'all, I think that they're definitely an asset.
And the only thing I would add is the first few months in this position, they were a tremendous help in kind of guiding me through the do's and the don'ts so we stay on track and stay out of trouble. So I concur with your recommendation as well.
Thank you, trustees.
All right, next item on the agenda, item number 8, discuss and consider final adoption of governance policy changes. Do we need to get, okay, they're coming back.
For the governance?
Yes.
Trustees, the proposed changes to the governance policy was presented to the board at the November meeting. In line with our policy, we made sure we post the proposed changes as well as the minutes to the website. We haven't received any comments from our members. If you all have any additional questions regarding the proposed changes, I'm happy to answer those. Otherwise, this is an action item, and I'm requesting the board's approval of the current proposed changes to the policy.
And any comments while it was posted? Okay. Then I'll take a motion to adopt.
I'll make that motion.
Belinda moves.
I'll second.
John seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next is item number 9, discuss and consider executive director annual evaluation process.
Thank you, trustees. At the December meeting, there was some discussion about developing a process to evaluate the executive director. And I did some research, put some thought into it, and then realized we don't have a formal job description for the ED position. So I'm requesting a little bit more time to work on that so I can develop a robust job description that's going to serve, of course, for my position as well as for my successors, as well as at that point I'll come back with a recommendation on the process. I will also be reaching out to our peer systems to engage with them and understand what the process that they have to make sure we develop a robust process that's going to serve the board in the coming years. So I'm requesting a little bit more time. Hope by February board meeting, of course, I'll have the job description as well as a recommendation for a process for you all to consider.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
I'm good with that, and I appreciate you taking the time and effort to get a robust process in place, because I feel like that's something that has been missing from this board is there has never been any sort of formal review process for our executive directors. So just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to point out an item in our packet, and kudos to staff for putting together the fact sheet. I think it's a great one-pager, especially when we're in a position where we need to talk to someone and explain things about our pension, and this is a great handout. So thank you very much.
I want to add to that, Chief. Thank you, Gina, for your work on the newsletter. For those that haven't seen it yet, please take a look. It's a great revamp, and I know moving forward it's going to keep happening either annually or maybe twice a year. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that feedback.
Next item is item number 10, executive director report, including general comments, update on actuarial services, update on pension administrator system, pension administration system, update on customer service survey, update on pension conferences in 2023, staff update, and internal financial statements.
Thank you, Chief. Trustees, for under general comments, of course, I wanted to make a note about the fact sheet. It's a good tool or a document that you all can use. The legislative session, of course, has begun, so if you all go to the Capitol to talk to a lawmaker, feel free to use the fact sheet to talk about your fund, as well as to mention that we have, and I think I had mentioned this at the November or December board meeting when we were talking about budget items, we have purchased a new project management software, more internal-focused, staff-focused. It's called Asana. And I just wanted to mention that it's been working very, very well for us. It effectively tracks every single member service requests that we receive on any given day, and it tracks those requests from start to finish. So, for example, of course, we share the software, and if Gina or Shira or Debbie receive a request for a drop distribution or a request for a benefit estimate, we log everything into Asana, the software. We create a task, and we follow along that task and move it along as it, given we are now engaging in the process of verifying any requests that we receive from a member, making sure we verify that the member, in fact, is making the request from a security standpoint. So we track every stage of that request. It's been very helpful to make sure that we are not missing any requests. So hopefully, if we have, our members will provide that feedback to us. But we are staying on top of any single phone call or request that we receive via email. Everyone on staff has access to that staff software, so if a staff member who is working on a task is out, then someone else can jump in and make sure they continue to move it along. So that's a good way to collaborate as well. And it's less time spent playing phone tags, asking questions, where are you with this request or that request, given everyone can go in and see where they are with the tasks that staff has been working on. Make sure that we are not being redundant in how we proceed or work on, be it member services related tasks, board meeting related tasks, any other projects we are working on, and then creates an archive of all of our accomplishments. So we are tracking our productivity, we are creating institutional knowledge, as well as making sure if we have approached a particular request in a certain way, we are being consistent in responding to our members along the same lines. Hopefully, it's also going to provide our members a more efficient way of reaching out to us. So instead of members sending their sometimes sending their PII information directly to our email, we will have the new software that we'll be working on down the line. But in the meantime, we wanted to identify ways to make sure that the communication that we have with our members is done in a secure platform. So through Asana, we can send forms to our members. They can send their information back through Asana. It automatically creates a workflow for us, and then it's done on a secure platform. So in many different aspects, this new project management software has been working very well for us, as well as the Pension Gold workflow software that we'll be working on. It's already creating those workflows for us that we can document, and then will help us or serve us well down the line when we work on the Pension Gold transition. So I just wanted to mention that, and if you all are ever wondering, for example, in January, the very first week of January, we had received 36 all kinds of member services requests that we were able to track and accomplish in that first week of January, and we felt very, very good about that we didn't drop any balls on those requests. So I just wanted to mention that, and then, of course, thank our staff who's been working hard and making sure our customer service continues to remain stellar and we serve our members well. So, the next item under the ED report is update on actuarial services contract. We have executed the contract with Chiron, and Chiron is already running on replicating the 2021 valuation. They have made a whole bunch of requests of us, of course. They want to make sure they have a good basis of the data that we will be providing to them. So they're asking us to go all the way back to 2013 and providing all the information that they'll need to help them, but also they're working on replicating the 2021 valuation. They have reached out to Foster and Foster as well for some specific information that they needed from our previous actuary. So that process is underway, and I just wanted to mention that. And I'll keep you posted on when we expect the 2021 valuation to be back from Chiron. If y'all don't have any questions, I can move on to updating you on the pension administration system software. That contract has been executed as well, and we were very happy and satisfied with the negotiations, the final cost that I had already updated y'all in December. And we will be starting the work on the public-facing side of our website, just the website, this week. So I'll keep you posted on as we move along with the projects. But the idea, as I had mentioned before, was we'll start working on the website, and then along the way we'll start documenting and putting procedures in place in preparation for the actual software work to begin in July or August, as well as the electronic document management system project will begin in May. So for now, we'll be working on the website as well as doing the legwork for the additional projects to start come May and then August. Feel free to reach out to me if you all have any questions regarding the software. Some of the questions we have received from our members are along the lines of, why is this software going to take so long? Why is it that it's not going to be in place until 2025? And I've been trying to educate them that this is a big project that involves different milestones or mini projects, with the website being one of them, the electronic document management system, where we want to digitize everything that we have, both from a business continuity standpoint as well as making sure moving forward we are doing our business electronically and move away from paper, as well as the actual software itself, given we want to be focused on making sure that the software we have in place moving forward serves us for decades to come. It does involve coding and making sure the LRS, our vendor, writes that software based on all of our business needs, which means they'll work with us very closely in making sure we are partnering with them and providing all of our business needs in all the different aspects. And the current software that we have is not as advanced as the new software is going to be, so it's going to have a lot more features, and so we'll have to define some business needs that processes that we may not have in place right now, as well as it's going to create that workflow, and then eventually the member portal side of things, where members can online access all of their information and put in their request of drop distributions or address changes through the portal, and it creates an automatic workflow for us. So all that is going to take some time, but our goal is to get everything up and running come 2025. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention that. In your packet, trustees, we have also included a draft of a customer service survey. If you all have any thoughts or input, we are happy to incorporate those. This survey, the version of this survey is going to be focused on members who have been through the retirement process with us from start to finish, benefit counseling to us assisting them to finally retire. So we will be providing this survey, as had been requested by the board, to those members, of course. Now, one other request that you all had made was, what about serving the entire membership? And that's something we will be working on. We just wanted to make sure that when we engage in that survey, we have enough bandwidth to be able to respond to any comments or input that we receive from our members. So our thought is, maybe we align that survey of the entire membership with our next newsletter, the summer newsletter that we'll put out. So we are not making the membership respond to us multiple times. It'll be done in one fellow scoop is what our goal is. But this survey is going to be focused on the members who come to our office or visit with us virtually to start their retirement process and then eventually finish it to make sure we are providing the best service possible. And I'll make sure to update the board as we start receiving input from based on the survey. I'll make sure that we update the board if we are making any changes or improvements. If you all don't have any comments, I'll move on to the next item, pension conference.
Just a quick question. So regarding the customer service survey, is this going to be provided in some kind of electronic format or?
I should have mentioned that. Thank you. Yes, it will be provided in an electronic format. And I believe we used Asana to create the survey, Gina?
Yes, the survey is through Asana as well.
Yep. We made sure that we include all the drop-down options for y'all to see. But again, when members receive this survey, depending upon what options they're selecting is the drop-down menu that they will see and respond to.
I would imagine this allows you to capture if there's a sort of pattern of responses that you can see, hone in on some area where you need to focus on, if that's the case. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, if there are gaps in how we are providing services to our members to help them with their retirement process, this survey will be very useful to help us fill those gaps. Yep. Trustees, the next item, and we have included a list of conferences that are being offered in 2023. The TechSpurs annual conference is being hosted right here in Austin, so you all certainly have the option to go to the TechSpurs conference. It's their annual conference, and they also provide their basic trustee training through that conference. So if Chief Wilburton would be interested in attending that, we'll make sure we organize that. And then there are a few NCPRS conference that's available to you all to attend as well. There's of course, the annual conference that's being held in New Orleans. And then along with that, NCPRS always offers their accredited fiduciary program. And if you all have finished, I know Chief Fowler has the first and second module, you'll have the option to do their third and fourth module as well. And then there's another conference that they're offering in October that's more focused on certain topic areas of actuarial, legislative, financial, so that's certainly an option. And we are now a member of NASRA, so you all have the option to attend the annual NASRA conference as well. And that's a good forum to, of course, on a more national level, understand and get education on national issues as well as, of course, the same legislative, actuarial, investment-related topics. So that's available to you all to consider as well. And if you're interested in any of these, just let staff know, and we will work with you to schedule those and make appropriate arrangements.
Yeah, I was in Nashville back in October, I believe, and went through the first two phases of the trustee accreditation, and I got to say it was a great experience, and I'm looking forward to the next half.
Sounds good. The next item on staff update, trustees. I know I've mentioned this to you, but I just wanted to make sure y'all are aware. Unfortunately, Kendall is not going to be able to come back. We tried our best to help her with the transition, but understanding her situation, and then she has to focus on her kids. She's not going to be able to come back at this point. However, of course, in the future, if things change for us, we will certainly be in touch. She was gracious enough to offer if we need anything as we work through our day-to-day projects, or if Debbie needs anything as she transitions into Kendall's role, that we can reach out to her. So we of course are in touch with her, but unfortunately she's not going to be back, and so we will have a position open, and we'll try to fill it as soon as possible. Moving on.
Before we move on, I also just want to take the time to thank Kendall. I know she's not here, but I highly doubt she's listening in, but thank her for her time. I know she was here while the phone was working through a lot of transitional, you know, period with trying to get new folks up to speed. So thank you, Kendall.
Yeah, I'd like
I'll make sure they share those.
Yeah, please concur. I know before you got on board, she was carrying a very heavy load. And of course, during your first few months in, there was a lot to be done. And so we certainly appreciate her hard work.
Absolutely. And it was a hard decision for her. It was a hard decision for us. But hopefully things will change in the future. But I echo y'all sentiment. She was critical when I started on in March to help me and provide that support that I needed with the transition. Trustees, the next item on the agenda are the financial statements, both for the month of November as well as December. November's, you've already seen the expense side, but we wanted to provide the updated statements given we had at the December board meeting, given the meeting was early, we had not been able to provide the update on the investment side. So that's what you'll see with the November statements. With the December, that's the end of the year financial statements. We were, for the most part, on track with our approved budget items, with the exception of a few. And then the one item that I did want to point out under the profit and loss statement pertains to the insurance expenses. So you will see we are way over our budgeted amount under that category, and I wanted to explain that those expenses pertain to our insurance for 2023. So the way it lined up, given we wanted to make sure that the insurances for board and directors' liability, cybersecurity, workers' comp, are in place come January 1st, we of course had to make sure we make those appropriate payments. So those are going to be for the year 2023, but fiscal year 2023, but they show up in December's. If you all have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. And we'll start including, of course, the 2023 financial statements come next board meeting. And that's all I had.
Okay. Roadmap for future meetings. Do we have any date changes we have to consider?
So we've created this roadmap, of course, for every board meeting moving forward. And then this is probably going to change based on any trustee requests that we receive. But this provides a broad overview of what to expect at every board meeting. And I had provided a list of those projects in December. It wasn't a roadmap, but just a list of major projects for 2023, and we kind of organized that by board meetings under the roadmap.
Okay. Any other discussion on that item?
And just quickly going back to the board meeting dates, when those were sent out to the board and as a whole, what were the conference dates kind of kept in mind?
We did go back and look at the conferences, but we will double check and make sure. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Very good. Let's move back over to item number three, welcoming incoming chair, Mayor Kirk Watson. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
I just wanted to stick my head in and say hi. I've now been on the job 2 weeks, and I'm only about 8 months behind, so I think I'm catching up on everything. I look forward to working with y'all. About 20 years ago, I was involved in this just this way, and I look forward again to being involved. Mark Littlefield is going to be my point person. You've met him, but if there's anything that we can do, of course, you know Barbara Shack, so, but if there's anything that we can do to be helpful, just let us know. I don't want to interrupt too much. I'm not going to give a big old speech, but I'm glad to be here.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor. Welcome. Okay, that brings us to our last item, item number 12, call for future agenda items. Any discussion there?
So next month is when we are reviewing the ethics policy, is that correct? It's going to be March? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. With the roadmap, our goal was to spread things so one board meeting isn't too long.
Okay.
Given February is where Makita is going to present that investment update, we thought we'll do the annual review in March.
Okay. That works. Sorry, I missed that.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else we need to discuss? Okay, we've exhausted our agenda, so the time is 9:44. We will adjourn.
Thank you.